What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Blake Topmeyer is the senior national college football columnist for the USA Today Sports Network. He's also the host of SEC Football Unfiltered. You can hear episodes available each and every week wherever you get your podcasts. Follow him on X at B Topmeyer. Blake, do you think a 24 or a 28 team playoff sounds better?
I think they both sound terrible. And maybe we just advance this to 136 team playoff.
The Coach K entry. Remember when Coach K, in the COVID year, when they were going to miss the tournament and he made a motion to have everybody make the tournament?
Yeah, that's where this seems like it's heading, right? I mean, really what this is, a 24-28 team playoff, it's just kind of a rebrand of Tony Petitti's obsession with playoff games. Like, this just sort of incorporates the play-in games as part of the official tournament, and instead of, you know, having them outside the tournament and calling them play-in games. So I thought it was a bad idea before. I think it's a bad idea now. I think it's going to be dead in the water. And really, with the SEC changing its conference schedule for 2026 and beyond, the Big Ten sort of losing its leg to stand on in any arguments against the 5+11 model.
I was thinking about it this way. I know you can't actually do this, but let's do it as a thought experiment. If the House settlement didn't exist, do you actually think we'd be considering expanding the playoff, or do you think we'd be doing what we've done in the past, which is, all right, we've got this 12-team format, let's see how it goes, let's keep getting some data, if we need to tweak it. It just feels to me like everything is based upon we've got to create more revenue right now.
Well, I do think it's based upon we got to create more revenue. I guess I disagree that we wouldn't be doing this if not for the House settlement. I think the House settlement makes for a convenient excuse or rationalization to what I think they would have done all along, which is pursue more revenue. Because now, okay, maybe they can say it's a necessity because of House, but there are other things that they could do to prevent this necessity. And even if you didn't have House, I think they would want more revenue for the reasons that they've always wanted more revenue, which is to stuff it in their own pockets. So I think they would be looking at expansion for regardless. It's just that is now added as an explainer to maybe why this is necessary. But there are other things too. Like, I think once coaches got a taste of the bigger playoff and saw how many more teams it brought into the equation this past year, now you have that next layer of coaches that are wondering, and not just coaches, but ADs and presidents that are wondering, like, well, what about us, right? Like, oh, well, we might have a hard time getting into the top 12, but if it were 16 or 24, we could join the party. And so I think seeing that play out with the 12-team playoff, and you had several first-time qualifiers, you now have that next rank wondering, how big do we need to get this thing so that we can be part of the party?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point, because how many coaches think realistically, if we flip one game, we're in? because you know what I mean? Like that's like what it really boils down to is, and again, a lot of times, you know, a lot of times those coaches ignore the fact that you could have probably flipped a game in the other direction, but,
right.
But they sit there and go, you know, I would imagine, you know, in the SEC, well, we know if you flip one game for Alabama, South Carolina, and Ole Miss, their seasons are different. But in the Big Ten, you know, if you think about it, if Illinois probably flips a game, maybe they're in that conversation. In the Big 12, about half the teams, if you flip one game, they're back in the conversation. And I can see where that's intoxicating. I guess the other question I had is, was that serious? Like, I know they said, hey, this is, what was their terminology, napkin, back of the napkin math or whatever. Like, they were acknowledging this was the idea, but they did present it, or Tony Petitti presented it to the Big Ten ADs, and they all said, yep, sounds good, present that. Was that really a serious offer? Did they think that was going to go through?
I think it was semi-serious. I sort of, you know, you mentioned this back of the napkin narrative that's sort of been floated as, I think, cover for the Big Ten. And I kind of reject that narrative because, to your point, like back of the napkin ideas usually don't leave the room where the napkin is.
Right.
You know, that's what back of the napkin ideas are. I mean, it's sort of like ludicrous things that you doodle out during meetings, but they never escape the meeting room.
It's a workshop.
They're workshopping. They're never leaving the workshop. They're not ready to be presented to the world. This was leaked far and wide and was presented to the world. It was floated as a legitimate, well, we don't think it's legitimate, but it was floated as a semi-rational idea. So it jumped the shark from going to something doodled out on a napkin during a meeting among Big Ten minds to, hey, we've kind of cooked up something here. Let's see if it sticks. And so, yeah, I think that's where, you know, we can all sit here and say, well, everybody has all these back of the napkin ideas, right? So what's so crazy about this, you know, this one? Well, what's crazy about this one is it advanced beyond the napkin, outside the room where the napkin was, and into the ecosystem, only to be swatted down in a matter of minutes.
Well, I mean, reportedly, Petitti took it to Sankey. It's like, what's the difference?
Correct.
It was serious enough, and again, I understand this could be, everyone does the whole, well, this could have been leveraged to get what they really wanted, and look, this week, they got the ninth SEC game. It's like, I don't think those two things are related. There's no way a 24-28 team playoff idea is what all of a sudden got Greg to be like, you know what, this is going to get my people on board finally. He's wanted
He wanted a ninth game forever, and people that believe the SEC acquiesced on a ninth game because the Big Ten floated a 2018 team playoff, like they're not even in the right area code of reality. The SEC added a ninth conference game, not as an acquiesce to the Big Ten. They added a ninth conference game because they wanted to add a ninth conference game, because their off-season propaganda campaign to get the College Football Playoff Committee to tweak how it evaluates records, how it evaluates strength of schedule, worked. And it is not coincidence that 2 days after the playoff committee announced that it would be changing the way it evaluates strength of schedule, it would be adding a strength of record component, it would be devaluing cupcake results, and it would be minimizing the penalty for losing to good teams. It is not a coincidence that 2 days later, the SEC then added its ninth conference game. So, yeah, I mean, up in Big Ten.
May I throw in one other factor?
Yeah,
because I honestly think it was more than, I actually am not even buying the narrative about the strength of record, the new metrics, if you will. I am buying the ESPN doubled the money.
I think it was twofold, though. I do think, yeah, this has been about money for years.
Yeah.
But I do think if push came to shove, could the SEC gotten more money a year ago? I think that's plausible. Like, I think it is a companion deal. It's the money plus gaining some clarity that the SEC felt that they needed on the playoff. That was an insignificant the playoff tweak. But the fact that this was just the SEC bowing to some Big Ten pressure campaign, that's not what happened here. I think if the SEC wouldn't have gotten the dollar signs and wouldn't have gotten the change that it desired from the playoff committee, I don't care what the Big Ten would have done. I think the SEC would have stayed at 8 conference games.
Yeah, I'm with you. But, I mean, the fact that they are going to 9, I think all of us can celebrate it. I know you've written about it. Hey, yeah. Now, don't fret everyone. We're still going to make sure we keep the FCS ecosystem going. I'm going to sure those games are going to stick. I will say what did surprise me a little bit was the SEC announcing, in addition to the 9th conference game, they're going to keep the additional Power 4 game, or you know, however they're going to define it, Power 4 game, unless you get into a bind and then you need to schedule Washington State, you can do so. That kind of took me by surprise because that's also a, hey, Big Ten, I know a lot of them do play an extra Power game, but it's not required.
That was huge. That, and when I saw that announcement hit my inbox yesterday, that was the first thing I was looking for was, is the SEC going to ditch its requirement to play a big boy in the non-conference schedule? And that was sort of the news that kind of people were missing a little bit at first. And I get it, right? Like, I mean, this 9th conference game has been debated for years and years and years. They constantly kick the can down the road. But that was the huge piece of it, I thought, was the portion of the announcement that said membership will continue to be required to play a non-conference big boy for a total of 10 Power 4 games, plus Notre Dame counts. 10 Power 4 games, though, at a minimum. Teams can choose to schedule more than 10, but they are required now to have 10 Power 4 opponents, and that caps the number of cupcakes at 2. Whereas, as you said, in the Big Ten, teams have the option, and several of them are now pursuing this option. It is not the majority, but it is now up to several Big Ten teams that are pursuing the option of playing 3 cupcake games in a season and playing no non-conference big boys. Now, the Big Ten's argument had been, well, hey, the SEC only plays 8 conference games, and some of them play 3 cupcakes, so why can't we do that? Okay, sure. But now the SEC has changed its scheduling, and it sort of, I think, puts the Big Ten on its back foot a little bit and says, like, how are they going to respond, if at all, now? And as well with the ACC, right?
Yep.
The ACC now becomes the last Power 4 conference that that plays just 8 conference games. So it puts them a little bit back-footed as well.
Yeah, and I know that Dellinger also had the report that if the SEC does go through, the ACC will probably follow suit, but they've not made it official. So I'm with you now. Like, it puts even more pressure on them because, you know, your league top to bottom isn't even as strong as the other two. I was thinking about this. How long do we have to wait until the griping about which schools get which permanent opponents?
Well, not at all, because that started 2 years ago when Nick Saban was still a coach, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he was already griping.
Oh, no, people have been griping. Back in the good old days of the 2 divisions with 6 teams each, before it even went to, oh, man. Because you'd have some teams, you know, that was before they had, most teams had 2 permanent cross-division opponents. And, oh, man, the whining was just excellent.
Well, right. And in Tennessee for years whined that it got Alabama as its crossover opponent annually, and Auburn could whine that it got Georgia as its crossover opponent, while Vanderbilt and Ole Miss.
Well, it was a historic rivalry, Blake. You don't understand. There's a lot of history between those two programs.
So I've heard. I mean, that's going to happen, right? And what's interesting is there will be some variance in the toughness of those collections of 3 teams that are assigned as permanent rivals. Where I think the variance will be a lot less drastic is if you look at each 9-game conference mashup in totality, right? Which is really what's
I'm with you. This has always been my argument. And I understand some years it won't work out this way because there's going to be a rotational element to it. But if you have three tougher permanent opponents, that means you have a wider range in your choice of six of bad opponents. Like, it all kind of, yeah, it all tends to net out in the end.
That's totally right. I mean, you have to have an IQ of a certain base level to understand that argument, and maybe that's where some folks go awry here. But yeah, that's exactly right. Like, if you're drawing three big boys as your rivals, or like two and a half, a big boy and then somebody else that's got half a pulse, that means you've got all the weaklings available to draw as your rotational opponents. And so, right, I think that's the whole thing, is there will be some variance in a nine-game conference schedule, as there always is.
Yeah.
Is anybody seeing?
I mean, this was the point last year. Remember, all the coaches were griping about – this is what's confused me. All the coaches behind the scenes were whining about Texas's schedule last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, where's the pre-whining about Texas's schedule this year? Is it just because they flipped locations? Is it really that different?
Yeah, and here's the thing. The coaches are going to whine about which three rivals they get assigned.
100%.
But here's the other element that requires a certain baseline of IQ. The higher percentage of the overall conference that you play, the less variance from one schedule to another in terms of relative strength. So adding a ninth conference game, I don't care who your three rivals are, each team playing a higher percentage of the conference will decrease, not fully, but it will decrease the variance from one schedule to the next. I mean, you know, let's play it out. If you played 100% of your conference, if everybody did that, there would be no variance in conference strength of schedule.
Blake, that's just not true. If you got to play Vanderbilt late in the season, that was too easy. That was always my favorite. It was when then people wouldn't argue about whose opponents they had because the opponents were the same. It was when they played them in the season. That team was a lot better early.
Yeah.
I always love that one.
Home road type arguments of, you know, you're right. The arguments would continue. I heard one from a fan in the Big Ten land yesterday about how the SEC has it easier because they don't play a lot of non-conference games west of the Mississippi River. And I thought, I mean, I'm someone who grew up very close to the Mississippi River, and I thought, what makes the Mississippi River so special, and what makes everybody on the west side of it so tough? I mean, you know, is anyone really particularly afraid to march into Rose Bowl Stadium and play UCLA in front of a friends and family crowd? Like, not exactly a hostile environment there. I think that's not quite so tough as playing Clemson on the road in Death Valley, east of the Mississippi River. But people come up with whatever arguments that kind of suit their league.
I kind of like that one because that really is some, like, galaxy brain. Because I know what the argument – they want to make the argument that they don't play east of the Mississippi or west of the Mississippi, but now that you have the Texas schools in Oklahoma, Arkansas, Missouri – it's like that technically crosses the Mississippi River, so you've got to really start to shoehorn that argument.
Oh, yeah. And Tennessee tried to play west of the Mississippi, and then Nebraska ducked them.
Yeah,
and,
this should have been the argument. SEC schools don't change time zones enough.
Yeah, and that's what it was. Like,
yeah.
It was almost like this backhanded way of saying, like, well, Oregon's got it tough because they have to fly across a couple time zones and play Rutgers. And it's like, well, okay, nobody forced them to do that. They chose to.
They literally begged to do that.
Yeah. And also, like, I get that cross-country travel's hard. I do it for work sometimes. We've all done it. But I'd still rather fly across the country and play Rutgers, or I'd rather be Ohio State flying across the country and playing UCLA on the road than play a road game at night at LSU when maybe I can ride on a bus to the game. I'd rather fly cross country and play in front of the friends and family crowd at UCLA than take that short drive to Tiger Stadium and play in front of 100,000 people that have been sucking down hooch all day.
Am I missing all the times Ohio State's gone to play Fresno? Like, I was trying to, if the argument is the non-conference west of the Mississippi, it's like, yeah, I know that Michigan will play Fresno in Ann Arbor, but like I'm missing all the times that those were home and homes.
Yeah, I agree. I
love a good college football. Like, you know, like, because that person, you know, thought as soon as it fired it off, nailed it.
Oh, yeah. They thought,
got
him. Uh-huh. Yeah. And here we are talking about it, although more as poking fun at the argument than giving credence to it.
All right. What else interests you? I did enjoy, for those that don't know, I told the story yesterday that Blake and I had a very nice, relatable moment. Blake, growing up as a solid Midwesterner, loves his Bush Light, just like our Iowa State brethren. But he found the farmer's can. Not only did he find the farmer's can, found it in the 24-pack, and I related it to when I found a beer that, when I was living overseas, that was my favorite beer ever, and I found it in a Publix, and my wife was like, "You've never looked at me like that." And that was a nice, awkward moment for both of us, but she was not as excited. But I was thinking about it in these terms. Yeah, I'm not acting like tomorrow's the start of college football. I'll have it on. It's going to be my daughter's birthday party. I'm not going to prevent anyone from watching that. I hope my wife knows that, but at this point, she's pretty much accepted that reality. But it is an interesting game because, you know, it feels like anytime you get teams that are in the top half of the Big 12, this could have implications on who actually represents the playoff for them.
Yeah, it's, you get two playoff contenders squaring off. And I think it's fair to call both Iowa State and Kansas State that, because, you know, you're going to have one representative at a minimum from the Big 12, and either of these teams could win the conference. And here we have a conference game out of the gate. I mean, I agree with you. Like, this almost feels like a big week of the NFL preseason, if you will. The difference is these games actually count. But in terms of, like, just the general feel of it, it doesn't, that's kind of what you were nodding to there. Like, it doesn't feel like this is actually the start of the season. But there is some buzz around it. And in that way, I guess it feels like a big NFL preseason type of situation, even though these games count. I'm kind of like you. Like, I'll be particularly interested in Farmageddon, and I am glad that I got my farmer's can shortly before Farmageddon. That just felt right. Felt like a gift from the gods there.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.